Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I'm shooting this on a Saturday, so I'm feeling kind of casual Saturday. Got to thank Mike, my good friend, for sending me the shirt. I am going to do a video about my t-shirt collection, which has grown exponentially in these past few weeks. But today I'm going to talk about the time I went to court looking like the picture that I put up as the thumbnail. I don't mean to gross anybody out, but that's what I looked like one particular day. And so here's what happened. And, you know, this story winds up in a courtroom, but not where anybody's getting sued. But I'm just explaining to a judge why I look like I do at the time. But I do a lot of mountain biking. I've actually owned 4 or 5 mountain bikes in a row, and I've got one now, and I ride it almost every day in the summertime. I don't always get out on trails like I'd like to, but I do ride it every single day. And then when I get chances, I go out and ride them on trails. And there's a few trails in Michigan. If you're in the Midwest, you want to check out the trails at Pottawatomie near Pinckney or Hell, Michigan. There's a loop that's 17 miles in a state park that's just a roller coaster of dirt. That's so cool. It's a workout, but it's a lot of work. Does that, but it's a great exercise. And there's also a place called Pontiac Lake in along M59 near Pontiac Airport. And Pontiac Lake is a little bit different. It's a grinder as well, but there's a lot of gravel and rocky areas. And there's places out there that can be kind of dangerous. So if you don't know what we're talking about here, mountain biking is involved going off-road, riding on trails, up and down hills, and through all kinds of stuff. And I mean, I've ridden my bike through water, where the water came up to like the top bar on the bike, where the bike itself is almost completely underwater. It's not good for the chain or many of the bearings where water can get in. I wouldn't recommend you do that. But you can ride up and down fairly steep grades, impressively steep grades that you can go down if you want to. And of course, it's a lot of fun and there's a lot of adrenaline involved, you know. So going very, very fast down a hill in the woods on a full suspension mountain bike, you know, where the bike's doing this underneath you and but you're like, it's like a roller coaster, but it's just cool. So a lot of mountain biking I've done. And I was out a few years ago at Pontiac Lake with my buddies, about 5 or 6 of us riding. And it was a kind of a cold day. And so one of the problems when you're biking is you don't warm up the same way you do when you're running. When you're running, you actually get warm sometimes, even though it's cold out because you've bundled up. And the problem with biking, of course, is that you are, number one, the air is going by you much faster. But you also have to keep your hands unencumbered so you can work your brakes and your shifters. And if you, and it's funny, I've known people who haven't ridden a bicycle in so long that they don't understand how bikes have evolved over time. So right now, the mountain bike I have is a full suspension mountain bike with front and rear disc brakes. And the shifters are push button levers up on the handlebars. And so, you know, you can leave your hands here without moving them and you can, you know, you can shift around, you can do all kinds of stuff like that. And then of course you can lock up those disc brakes and skid to a stop very, very quickly. And also, for those of you who don't know this, but in the old days, you had toe clips where you'd have these straps that would hold your feet to the pedals. Nowadays, you've got these pedals where you buy a special shoe. It's got a cleat on the bottom, and the cleat basically attaches to the bottom of your shoe. You can pedal in circles. And, I mean, you can pull up as hard as you push down if you want to. Of course, the bad news is if you tip over, you got to be able to get your feet out of the pedals. But back at Pontiac Lake a few years ago, and this is a while ago, so I'm going to look younger in the picture where half my face is scraped off. But I was mountain biking with my friends, and it was kind of a cold day, and I was not wearing gloves because of the fact that I wanted to have my hands, nimble, and I thought that it wasn't that cold out, but of course, we're out in the woods, and I'm not warming up, my hands are cold. And I'm riding along, and there's a couple different groups of people, and one of the guys was hanging with me, and a couple guys got ahead of us, so it was just me and a guy named Jim. And we're going up a spot, and this is the thing with a lot of accidents. People get in accidents when they don't think they're in danger. And so I'm climbing up a hill, meaning that I'm holding the handlebars as hard as I can, pedaling really, really hard in a low gear, and I'm grinding my way up a hill, and I'm winding around roots and stuff. And just as I get to the top of the hill, I go to stand up on my pedals and kind of like stretch my legs out a little bit. And as I go to stand up, something, and I don't know what it was, but something was in the trail, and it could have been a rock, it could have been a root that I just didn't see, but something caught my front wheel. And just as I stood up, my front wheel got caught, my handlebars yanked really, really hard like that. And I as I was standing up, was moving my weight a little bit forward, pulling myself up. And of course, the combination of that caused me to go over my handlebars and hit the ground face first. And you'll see where I hit my face. Now, the problem, of course, is that I managed to get my hands in front of my face in a way that broke my fall partly, but also broke this bone in my hand. Trust me, I probably weighed about a good 220, 230 at the time, and that's like a bag of dirt that weighs 230 pounds hitting the ground. I mean, it's not graceful. And it wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now. I survived. So I hit the ground, and I managed to get my hands up a little bit, but I broke a bone in my hand, and I did the damage to my face that you'll see in the photograph. And I'm laying on the ground. My bike is behind me all tangled up. My friend Jim heard me hit. He turns around. He's like, oh, my, you know, Steve. And he comes running back. And I'm laying on the ground all dazed and confused. And I've got blood running down my face. And that was a Led Zeppelin reference. And he looks at me and very, very wisely and quickly says, Steve, quick, get your ring off. And I'm not wearing any rings right now. But at that time, I had a ring on this finger. And I had broken the bone in this hand right there. And so I'm like, oh. And I very quickly pull the ring off. 5 minutes later, if that, this finger, and this finger were so swollen that they were like, I mean, it was, and I would have lost that finger, or at least had severe damage done to it by that ring. Because remember, we're not sitting in a hospital emergency room when this happened. We were out in the woods, 20 miles from a hospital. 5 miles from the parking lot. Things you don't think about until you need to think about them. So I'm sitting there trying to regain my breath and my composure. I've got the ring off and my hand is throbbing like you wouldn't believe. And my face doesn't feel that good either. But I remember, I don't have a mirror with me either. So I go to Jim. I go, dude, how do I look? And he goes, not good. And just then a guy comes by on a mountain bike and he goes, oh my gosh, what happened to you? And I said, I crashed, but I'm a little messed up. I go, I think I need to go to the hospital. And we were discussing how I was going to get back to the parking lot because my bike was rideable, but I this arm was worthless. Okay. And this guy goes, well, good news. He goes, I'm parked right there. And there was actually several different trailheads that come into this trail loop. And we'd never parked there. We always parked in the parking lot of the state park. And the guy goes, I can take you from here to your car, and then you can go to the hospital. I said, great, let's do that. So we go over to the guy's car. The guy's got a bike rack that accommodates two bikes. I put my bike on the back, hook everything up. I get in the guy's car. I flip down the visor, and I'm like, oh, my God. I might never look normal again. I the picture you see, I'm cleaned up in that picture after I got home from the hospital. You should have seen me when there was still dirt in the wounds. And meanwhile, my arm hurts so bad. I'm holding my arm like this. And no matter, I mean, this is the only position I can put it in where it's just not, where I'm not actually actively thinking I should get a hacksaw and just cut it off to try to end some suffering. And I'm holding my arm like this. And every time we hit a bump, I'm like, oh, you know, it's bad. I knew something bad was going on in this hand. So we get back to the parking lot. The other guys meet us there. They see me like, you know. And so I had my Jeep Wrangler at the time, which was a clutch, you know. And I go, dude, I can't drive myself to the hospital. Someone else. So one of my buddies got in a Jeep with me and drove me to the local hospital. And I got on my cell phone and I called the person that was affiliated with that piece of jewelry and said, hey, I'm going to the hospital. I had a little issue with my mountain bike. And I told her which hospital I was going to. And so went to the hospital, went to the emergency room. And when you look like that, they usher you right in, unless there's gunshots ahead of you. But there was no gunshots ahead of me. So they just ushered me right in. And a doctor comes in and he looks at me and they x-ray my hand. And the guy goes, well, you know, the good news is, he goes, your face. He goes, we can do that. I mean, that stitch, there were a few stitches involved. He goes, but we can clean this up, give you a few stitches, and you'll probably not have any scarring with your face, because it turns out that I had a cut on the side of my nose, and I think I also had a cut above one of my lips. And he goes, but the cuts were so clean in terms of how they were made that, he goes, those won't, because I don't think they're going to scar. And they obviously, they didn't. He goes, that hand, though, is a different problem. And he shows me the x-ray of this hand. And you know something? I need to make a note that in the future, if I break things, I'm going to ask them if I can have copies of the x-rays because they're comical. The x-ray of my hand, there's a bone, as you might imagine, it goes right there, and a bone that goes right there, and a bone that goes right there. And you know, this bone right there, okay? The x-ray, it was like this. It was not just broken, and it was displaced in such a horrific fashion that it was like it gives you the willies to see it. You're going, that's my hand? The guy's like, yeah. And he goes, and the problem is it's a small bone, meaning that you got to get that operated on fairly quickly. And I said, okay, what does that mean? He goes, tomorrow you need to find an orthopedic surgeon and probably have surgery done on it to have it straightened out. And I go, okay. And he goes, but in the meantime, he goes, I'm going to put a cast on it just so you don't make it any worse. I'm like, that sounds like a good idea. He goes, well, it's going to hurt. I'm like, oh God. So they pump it full of whatever they pump it full of. And the guy starts trying to manipulate the bones as best he can. And trust me, I'm standing there screaming because whatever shots they gave me weren't working the way they're supposed to. And then finally the guy puts the big old, you know, plaster cast on it. And I go home. And the photograph you see where I'm wearing the blue and white striped shirt is literally as I got home and I was wondering, and this is how my mind thinks, where do I have to be on Monday morning? Because I was reasonably certain that I had to be in court on Monday morning. And I worked with another attorney at the time, and he and I would cover stuff for each other, but we had a joint calendar, and I didn't know what he had on Monday morning. And if he had nothing on Monday morning, I was going to call him up and say, hey, bad news. I was in the hospital today. I got to go to get surgery, you know, Monday morning. And you know, you have to cover stuff for me. And so anyways, I called him and he goes, yeah, Monday's good. He goes, but Tuesday's not. And I said, okay. I go, so I can get the surgery done on Monday. He goes, yeah, you're good for surgery. He goes, but you know, we have a problem on Tuesday. And I needed to be in one court on Tuesday. He needed to be in another court on Tuesday. And I said, well, let's cross that bridge when we get to it. I go, because if I survive surgery, I should be able to go into court on Tuesday. I mean, I'll just, you know, whatever my arm looks like. And then, of course, my face. I mean, I'll have to just go out in public like this. You know, it'll scare small children, but okay. So go into an orthopedic surgeon's office on Monday morning. Guy takes one look at the x-ray and goes, what'd you eat? What have you had for breakfast today? And I go, not much. And I explain it to him. And he goes, okay, because you're having surgery this afternoon, just so you know. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. Yeah. I said, okay. So anyways, he makes a few phone calls. And he goes, meet me at the hospital at, you know, I don't know, time at like noon or something. I show up at noon. He goes, don't eat anything between now and then. And I'm not going to go through all the gory details, except to tell you that they joke about orthopedic surgeons as if they're like carpenters because they're using like power tools and stuff. And I actually watched the surgery because they actually managed to anesthetize my arm from the shoulder down where I was wide awake. And I'm sitting there watching this guy. He's like drilling, sinking pins and stuff, and puts me in, takes me out. And I'm sitting in the recovery room and two pins are sticking out of my hand. I still have the pins, by the way. Two pins are sticking out of my hand. And basically he put the two pieces of bone together and then ran a pin through the broken one into the good one and through this broken one into the good one. And he goes, in a few weeks from now, as those things start to mend, if everything's cool, he goes, somewhere down the road, we pull the pins out and you're good as good, you know, good to go. And that's how it worked out. But here's the problem. I leave the hospital and Tuesday morning, I've got a cast on my arm and it's wrapped with ACE bandage and stuff. And I don't think there's anything around this spot on my hand. But the point is that there was something over it, but it was like a cast on this hand, but it wasn't quite a big plaster cast kind of thing. But the problem is I couldn't put my arm through the sleeve of a sport coat. So it was cold enough out. This is in the fall, I think. It's cold enough out where you're going to be wearing an overcoat. So I thought, well, here's what I'll do. I can put the overcoat on. I'll put the overcoat on with the suit and the tie underneath it. I just won't have a jacket on. And I walk into a courtroom in Macomb County, Michigan, and I'm you couldn't make this stuff up. As you're walking up the hallway and you open the door, there's a sign, and it goes, no overcoats in courtroom. This judge had put up a sign saying that if you enter her courtroom and spend any time in there, you take your overcoat off. Because she was sick and tired of people walking in wearing galoshes and scarves and overcoats and mittens, and she'd call a case, and some guy walks up there like he's Nanook of the North wearing all this stuff. And so I'm going, I wore it on purpose. I felt I had to. So I left the overcoat on. I have a nice overcoat. You know, I pull it out for you. I still have it. But anyways, so the case gets called. And I walk up the front. And I purposely put my arm like this with the cast on it. And I walk up the front with my file underneath the other arm. And I say, you know, Your Honor, Steve Leighton, on behalf of the plaintiff. And she looks at me and she goes, did you not see my sign? And I look at her and I go, I'm really sorry. I go, because I was expecting her to react to my face. And I held my arm up and I go, I can't get a suit coat over this. I go, so the choice was to take the suit coat off and approach just in a shirt and a tie, or to approach with the overcoat on. And I saw the sign and I wasn't sure, but I thought that the shirt and tie with no overcoat would be less respectful. And I did think about it, but that was the conclusion I came to, and I apologize. And then I think as she looked at me, she realized somehow she had missed, I think she had missed my face, or she hadn't looked up completely or something. And she looks at me, she goes, oh, I guess that makes sense. I'm sorry. But I had two or three more court appearances that week, and I would show up in court, again, overcoat, arm, totally useless, and my face looking like it did. And it took a while for that to go away. But eventually, like I said, I got better. And I still do mountain bike. And I've had people say, you know, Steve, after that, you still mountain bike? Yeah, I've had one accident like that in 25 years of mountain biking, almost 30 years of mountain biking. So, yeah, these things happen. I got better. So that's the story of the bad mountain bike crash and why I had to go to court looking like I did. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.